Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody, all of you that have come out today on this cold Sunday morning, and we want to welcome all of you, and we're thankful that you are here with us on this fifth Sunday after Epiphany, and also we want to welcome those that will be listening later on the website, and but a little bit later on, I'm going to be asking that question: how old were you when you first heard the Lord's Prayer? And I'm going to be starting a new series on the Lord's Prayer, and it's going to take us up right to the Sunday. That'll be the last message, the Sunday before Palm Sunday. So it's kind of going to be a Lenten series, even though it's starting a month early, and we'll be going through that, and I'm looking forward to that with all of you. So as we gather together, let's stand and join and sing our Gloria Patri as we open. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it's now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let's join together there for our call to worship. Come, let us use our voices to praise the Lord.
Our mouths will sing forth God's praise.
Let us ponder God's wondrous deeds.
We will call to mind God's mighty acts.
Let us worship God with all of our being. Well, let's join together there. You can turn in your hymn books to hymn number 47, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint there. We're going to be singing verses 1, 2, and 4 of Holy, Holy, Holy. Together there for our opening prayer. As we worship this morning, O God, we pray that your Spirit will be our strength, your word will be our guide, your love will be our comfort, and your promises will be our hope. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Now I'm going to invite our kids this morning, if they would come down. Look at that, we got a whole boatload of them.
I
and I'm being taken over by girls. Oh my gosh. Yes. Well, I remember when the majority was boys that we used to have. But that was quite a while ago. They're all grown up and graduated from high school and college and everything. So, well, good morning. How are you guys doing? Good. Did you enjoy your snow days off? Did you go out and play in the snow? Chase and I went out and shoveled in the snow. I think I've shoveled more snow in the last 2 days than I did in 2 years almost, because we had so much snow this time around. Did anybody make a snowman?
Ah. It was hard. Our snow was like so soft.
Oh, it was too soft?
When we had snow earlier, I made snow.
Yeah. Well, we went out and shoveled the first time. I think it was on Friday afternoon when we kind of got a break a little bit in the snow, and it was real light, so that was not. But Saturday when we finally shoveled about 11 o'clock in the morning, it was more, that would have been good snow to make a snowman from. So yeah. So let me ask you a question, and I know not, maybe the older ones might know what this means, but when I say I'm communicating with grace, what does that mean? What do I mean by I'm communicating with grace?
You're talking to me.
Okay, yeah, so I'm talking to her, okay? So communication means when we talk back and forth, okay? So if I talk to one of you and you talk back to me, that's communication. Okay? Because it's a two-way thing. It's going back and forth. You know, like when you talk to your friends at school or at preschool or mom and dad, you know, when you tell stories or and talk or play games or whatever it is. And so that's communication. And Jesus, some of Jesus's followers, his disciples, who wanted to learn from Jesus about God, asked Jesus, one of them came up and said, Jesus, could you teach us how to pray? Like the followers of John the Baptist learned. And Jesus started to teach them some things about prayer. Now, prayer is communication. So it's talking to God. So we're going this way. We're talking to God. And God talks to us. Now, God talks to us in a variety of ways. I know that sounds odd, doesn't it? But sometimes we get this impression in our hearts or minds to do something. That could be God talking to us. Or when we read our Bible or our Bible storybooks that we might have. Or maybe our parents read some of those to us, depending on if you have those and how that is done. Sometimes God talks to us through that. I've had God talk to me, at least I felt like God was talking to me in my head when I was watching a movie before about something that went on in that movie. So prayer is communication. So we're talking and then we want to listen. And when Jesus taught a little bit, then he said, pray like this. And notice what he says there. Your Father, God in heaven, knows what you need before you even ask or pray. God already knows what we're going to pray about when we talk to God. So Jesus said, here's what I want you to do. Just pray like this. And we're familiar with it because it goes, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So we pray that every Sunday. Now, it's a bummer, and maybe I should change that around somehow, that you guys are not in here when we pray that every Sunday. Because as a kid growing up, I had that memorized probably by the time I was Jamie's age, or the older, you know, a little bit older. Because I heard it prayed every Sunday in church. But I didn't know what it meant. And so over the next few weeks, we are going to talk about that. So if you're here next Sunday, we're going to talk about that phrase, our Father, and what that means when Jesus wanted us to pray and talk to God as like our dad. Seems odd, doesn't it? Yeah, but that's what we're going to look at. And so it reminds us today, don't ever forget that sometimes you think your prayers don't matter, but they do, because Jesus told us that even before we pray and talk to God and ask God about it, God already knows what's on our heart. And to me, that's a good thing. Because, in fact, that's kind of reassuring to me to know that God already knows what we're wanting to pray about. Okay? All right. You guys can go on downstairs. And we are going to go to prayer.
Jason, I have a joy before I go downstairs. To whomever did the parking lot and the sidewalks, thank you, thank you, thank you.
There you go. Yes, and we do appreciate that. I know who did it last week because Tom told us, and that was Grant. Okay, I wonder if JJ got over here first. I bet he did. Yeah, so we appreciate it so much. And and Tom worked on the sidewalk, so. Yes, I did. So we appreciate that, all of that. So, well, we're going to go to our prayer, and we're going to put a little bit into practice what we're going to be talking about over the next 2 months. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share before we go to prayer. Yes. Yeah. And I'm not surprised about that, because with all the COVID patient overload they were talking about on the news, that some of the certain things to have done have been kind of pushed to the side for a while. Yeah. And so we want to continue remembering Bonnie. She's on our monthly list. And so we want to remember her. Someone else? Anybody else? Okay. Did you say the Dell family?
Zell.
Oh, Zell. Oh, okay. Yes, that sounds more familiar to me. Okay. And so we want to pray for the Zell family with that loss. Someone else? Anybody else this morning?
I've been fighting it for about the last 3 weeks from the colonoscopy Thursday, so I need a prayer too, I guess.
Okay. Yep, so we want to remember Tom in our prayers, and he's going to get that done. They've ruled out a few things, but this is going to be another one. Hopefully, there'll be a good report and rule out some others. But that still doesn't explain everything, some of the issues he's been having. So we want to pray for him, yeah. Okay, yeah, and we know God knows what those are. And someone else, anybody else this morning? Okay. Couple things. We want to pray for Priscilla Taylor. I got to talk to Barney this week, and we were talking and he in conversation because he had it first and then she got it and she had it worse. But when he was telling me all of his symptoms, I said, buddy, you had COVID is what you had. And yes, and Priscilla had it pretty, she had it worse, was running 101, 102 temperatures, and Barney is good, back to his ornery self as I was talking to him on the phone, but let's continue lifting up Priscilla, appreciate that. David and Ellie, hoping that they're continuing, I talked to her a couple weeks ago, she had been through it. And he was battling it and had some lingering effects there. Appreciate your prayers for them. I'm hoping Alice, I don't know if Eric, if you know anything updated on Alice. I think she is too. The last time I talked to Jennifer, she said that mom was doing much better. She was just way behind on her therapy from her knee surgery because she got COVID within like a week after she had had her knee surgery. So she's way behind on her therapy, and that can be tough. So we want to continue remembering Alice this morning. So any others before we go to prayer?
I heard that Linda Evers still is not in my life.
Thank you for reminding me that. Yes, Rhea had shared something about Linda is battling bronchitis. And she gets that about every year or more. But I think through everything that's been going on, we definitely want to keep her lifted up. Thank you for reminding me about that. So for Linda Everett. Yes.
Well, Gabby just said this morning, Dina's been having this cough, and he finally went to someplace yesterday, and I think they say he has a touch of the bronchitis also.
Who's that?
Dana.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I did not know that. Okay. I know there's been some stuff. I know yesterday when I had got done shoveling out here in that cold, I noticed as I was heading home and got home, I just had it's just that nagging little cough that I just figured it was probably from being out in that cold, you know, and everything for a while. So, any others then? All right. So we got several there that we'll lift up in prayer and appreciate you would do that. And then as she plays, and then I'll come and close us out. Lord, as we pause today, we are just so grateful that we have the privilege of being able to come and to pray and to sing and to worship and to know that you are with us here in this place. And not only here in this place, but that you go with us and you live with us every day of our lives. And that we can talk to you just like a best friend, no matter what we're facing, what we're going through in life, we can always turn to you. And we're grateful today and thankful for your presence and for the privilege of being able to communicate back and forth with you. And so as we pray today, Lord, we know that you already know the names that have been mentioned, the people that have been lifted up, but we lift them up to you and we ask for your grace and your healing and your touch for each one of those that have been mentioned, especially those that need it today. We're thinking about Bonnie, God, asking for your continued healing touch. And we pray that in the next month when she goes in for new scans, that there'll be good report. And we just ask your continued healing touch and grace with her. We lift up Tom, who's going in for this colonoscopy, we just ask that you'll be with him and that there'll be a good report there. We also lift up Priscilla, Lord, ask for your continued healing touch in her body, giving her that strength that she needs and the healing she needs. And Lord, we lift up Linda to you this morning, and Dana, Lord, with this touch of bronchitis and this touch of bronchitis, God, we just ask for your healing touch for each of them today, that you would just minister to them as only you can do. We pray for Alice, Lord, as she'll be going back in on the regular basis to have the therapy that she needs. And I know, Lord, after not doing that for a while, it's going to be hard at first. We pray for strength for her and that you'll be with her. And we lift up David and Ellie, Lord, as they are still recovering, God, that you will just touch them and give them your healing grace. We lift up this unspoken request and maybe others, Lord, that had a special something, a need on their heart, but maybe they couldn't share it this morning, God, that you would touch them and meet that need. We pray for the Zell family with the loss of this loved one. God, for your grace and your comfort and your peace for the family today. And Lord, we lift up every one of those names. Can't name them all, but we lift up all of those on our monthly prayer list, Lord. Those that are battling health problems, almost every one of them. God, we just ask for your healing touch and your grace for each of them today as we lift them up. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can gather to worship and to pray and to sing and to join together into hearing you speak to us as we open up and break the bread of your word. May you encourage us, strengthen us, continue to watch over all of those. We think about those that are out plowing the roads and those that have been doing that or will continue to do that here in the next few days. And all of those that are working in this, we continue to lift up those that are working in our medical fields, our doctors and nurses and hospitals and staff, and all of those that have been working with through all that's been going on, being short staff. God, we just pray for strength and grace for all of them. We pray for those that are continuing, that some of them are battling COVID right now, and some that maybe even afterwards are battling the after effects. God, we just pray for your healing touch and your grace and your strength for all of them. And we continue to lift up our safety people and all first responders and all of those and what they're doing to protect and to serve and to minister. And we think about our men and women serving in our armed forces around the world and here at home, that you'll continue to watch over them and keep them safe. And we thank you for all of these things and ask your blessing for each one that has come out today, God. May you just encourage their hearts and bless them for this coming week as we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear. Well, thank you so much for joining with us in agreement as praying this morning for those that were mentioned. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And once again, thank you so much for your faithfulness, and it's your giving that continues to continue the ministry and reaching out around the world. And so as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. You got your change? No. Well, let's join together for our dedication there in the bulletin. We offer ourselves to you, O God, in this offering of our hands. May it make a practical difference in our church, community, and world, bringing light and life through Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from three passages that we are going to read. Two of them may be familiar with you. The third you probably never heard of before. And the first two come from our gospel readings that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks, dealing with the Lord's Prayer. The first one is Luke, and I put Luke first because it gives us the shortest version of the Lord's Prayer. Then Matthew's, and then there's going to be a third that we're going to read from a book called the Didache. The Didache was in about 150 in the first century. It was written by early Christians, passing on the traditions from the Gospels, and there is a version of the Lord's Prayer in there. And we'll look at that one this morning. So let's begin there by looking at Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard for our two Luke and Matthew versions. Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus told them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And then Matthew's version, Matthew chapter 6, which is a part of the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus' further teaching there, verses 6 through 13. "But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you're praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then this way: 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one.'" And then, "For the kingdom and power and the glory are yours forever. Amen." And then from Didache, chapter 8, verse 2 through 3, "Do not pray as the hypocrites, but as the Lord commanded in his Gospels, pray like this: 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into trial, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the power and the glory forever.'" Pray like this three times a day. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing in God's sight this morning, our rock and our redeemer. Amen and amen. Well, let me share something funny with you like I usually do. Three boys are in school or in the schoolyard bragging about their fathers. The first boy says, "My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper. He calls it a poem, and they give him $50. The second boy says, "That's nothing. My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper, and they call it a song and give him $100. The third boy says, "I've got you both beat. My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper. He calls it a sermon, and it takes 8 people to collect all the money. I think I've shared that one with you before, but I thought I would share it again this morning. So we're going to begin a new series during this kind of coming up to Lenten and so forth. I'm going to call it a Lenten series, even though Lent doesn't begin till February. Till March. And yes, I'm getting a month behind here, aren't I? Because it's going to take, I think it's going to be about nine weeks is what we'll be going through it on. And so today I want to talk to you, I want to kind of give you an introduction to it to kind of set the tone for what we're going to be looking at and what it's going to involve. And I kind of entitled not only introduction, but the aspect there that we kept seeing in our readings was pray like this. So let me ask you a question. It was up there earlier. How old were you when you first heard the Lord's Prayer? See if any of you can remember. I was a kid when I first heard it in church. In fact, I had it memorized even before I understood what it meant. I bet a lot of the kids here this morning probably do not understand what it means, because I didn't understand what it meant back then. If we talked about it in Sunday school class when I was a kid, I don't know if I remember that. I do remember the first time I had teaching on it, and that was in catechism class, or what we call today confirmation classes. And so that was at the beginning of my 7th grade year in the fall. And we went through 7th and 8th grade was catechism. And then I think it was a Sunday before Easter of my 8th grade year is when we were confirmed. And, you know, we stood up in front of everybody and we usually had to quote something. Yes, we did have to quote something in front of everybody. So that's kind of my experience with that. Now, I can tell you this, though. I remember learning about it and studying it closer in catechism or confirmation class, but it wasn't until I was in college and Dr. Evans, one of my professors, went through it with us in college. And my eyes were kind of opened up to seeing what the big picture is regarding the Lord's Prayer that we pray every Sunday. And I'm sure even as adults, we don't always understand. Let me share a story with you. Kenneth Bailey, who is now gone to be with the Lord, he was a New Testament professor. The last place he taught was at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. But for like 20 years, he taught at one of the seminaries in Lebanon. Yes, in the Middle East for 20 years, professor of New Testament. And in one of his books where he's talking about the Lord's Prayer, he tells a story about how he met a Russian girl when he was given a lecture. And he said almost everybody at the lecture that day was probably between 25 and 35, which he said that means they all grew up under the Soviet Union communist system. And they knew nothing about God. And he was talking to her one time to find out about her story a little bit regarding the Lord's Prayer. And she said the only time in Russia when she was growing up as a kid ever hearing the Lord's Prayer was at funerals, because that was the only place they allowed. Churches were closed. They didn't have churches. He even asked her, was it in some kind of underground Bible study or something? Nope. He said, she goes, nothing like that. He kept asking these questions and she said, no. She goes, I only heard it at funerals because that's the only time they let that prayer ever be prayed. This was before the fall of Soviet Union. So as a child, she had no idea what they were talking what they were saying, what the words meant, where it came from, and who they were even talking to. She said when freedom finally came into the country, she said she started doing some research on it and its meaning. And she said it was like light came into her heart and mind. And she said she discovered through that prayer that she had prayed at funerals what it meant to be a Christian. Think about that for a minute. No Bible, no sermons, no teaching, no Sunday school, nothing. It is no exaggeration to say that the Lord's Prayer is probably one of the most influential prayers in all of Christian history. And it began this way with one disciple saying, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray like John the Baptist did for his disciples? And the rest is history. Teach us to pray. The Lord's Prayer is a part of Jesus's larger instructions on prayer. Matthew, we got a little taste of it on the Sermon on the Mount. He gives more teaching on there, and there's various other places throughout the Gospels that give us. And here's the thing, there are a lot of prayers in the Gospel. But this one is where Jesus specifically says, pray like this. Think about that for a minute. It had to be important. Now, as we were talking about, the prayer has come down to us in three slightly different versions. In fact, Luke's version is the shortest. And one of the things I found out in that class in college with Dr. Evans is he said that could have possibly been the original teachings, one of the first ways Jesus taught it, because he taught it in Aramaic. And it was real simple. Father, may your name be hallowed. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Give us bread. Forgive us as we forgive others. Just that simple. And I think Jesus was trying to give them a picture of how to pray in their lives. Yes, we pray it and we say it exactly the way we've learned it, usually from the King James Version and Matthew's Version, every Sunday. But he was giving them some insights into how to pray and ask and talk to God in conversation. Matthew's version is the most widely used. It was in the early church. And it's probably the most widely used even to this day. And then the Didache, I included that because of how it urged those early Christians to pray it three times a day. And we do know from other writings in the early church that are outside of Scripture that that was a common practice. It was up in through the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd century. And it wasn't until we got into the 4th century in the 300s when Constantine came to power and was converted to Christianity that things changed a little bit, because of structure and church structure and everything. So it was a regular part of their lives. It wasn't just what they prayed when they gathered, which they always did, but they prayed it in their lives every day and were encouraged to do that. And I think there's some reasons why that's true, but I want to touch on one here next, and that is the Lord's Prayer is meant to shape our lives so we might make a difference in our world. So many people pray it every Sunday. Some pray it during the week. In fact, a lot of people do. Some of you may hear pray it during your week. Some pray it at weddings and funerals, if you've ever been to. I know not all of them, but several of the funerals and weddings that I've done through the years, the family has asked that we pray the Lord's Prayer there. The early church, as I was mentioning, prayed it three times a day. They prayed it at 9, noon, and 3 in the afternoon. And then whenever they gathered together. And the reason why it was 9, noon, and 3 is because those were prayer times in the temple in the early days. And here's the thing. Since God knows what we need before we ask, then prayer becomes not so much about asking for things as prayer becomes a way of focusing our hearts on the things of God. God's name, God's kingdom, how we relate and interact with people. All of those things. And God getting glory. And we'll talk about all of those as we go through them. And hopefully, as we understand it better, I'm hoping that through this series, that as we pray it, it will begin to change us as we understand it more. And then hopefully through our lives, we will help to make a difference in our community, in our church, and in our world. So as I look at the next thing, not only teach us to pray, but my next little thing here is obvious if you've ever tried to pray, and that is this: prayer as work. There's an old Latin phrase that talks about, it's ora et labora, and it means prayer and work. That seemed to be a mantra early on in the church, is we pray and then we work. We pray and then we go out and do things and make a difference. And so I wanted to talk to you about this aspect then, to, as we introduce the whole thing, is prayer as work. Prayer is work. I remember when I was in college and I had a 7:30 in the morning history class. my freshman year, so that means I was up at 6, down at the lunch, got ready, down at the lunchroom to eat breakfast. Oh, they had good breakfast in college. And then get to the chapel, because it was one of the bigger classes that all incoming freshmen had to take, this history class. And to try to take a little time in the morning, somewhere in between all of that, and pray. And it usually didn't work out that semester. It was usually another time I would try to go pray. And one of the interesting things is on our campus, is on every floor of our dorms, there was a little room that was empty, and anybody could go in there anytime, and they all called it the prayer room. And we could go in there and pray. And there was times, I don't know, I mean, there were times you'd go in there and, you know, there was no chairs, no couches, no nothing. We just kind of sit on the floor or lay. So a lot of times I would lay on the floor, well, on my back. And the next thing you know, I'm fighting. Can I keep my eyes open, you know, to pray? And it seemed like I would pray for a while and then my eyes would get heavy. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation before. I think it's more common. But sometimes prayer is work, isn't it? But that's not the focus I want to get us on, is I want us to look at a different way of thinking about this prayer as work. And two things here. The Lord's Prayer is about expressing our hearts to God. If you've ever poured out your hearts to someone before, it sometimes can be emotionally draining on you. And we are called to be able to pour out our hearts to God. Talk to God like our best friend, you know, somebody that we can lean on, because prayer is work, because it's communication. As you all know, with your spouses, and if your spouse is no longer with us today, then you know what that was like even before. Communication between the two of you is work, isn't it? It takes work to be able to communicate. And it is through prayer that we converse with God and God converses with us, as I was trying to share with the kids. But here's the thing, and I know Jody would probably call this surface level communication, because one of her specialties before she got her master's in speech therapy is her undergraduate was in early childhood education and communication disorders. And so she would call this surface level, but I think it's the way we can interact and talk with God, because the most basic prayer or prayers we can express are two words. You're like, what do you mean? Well, let me just say this. When you're joyful, you could say, praise be. When you are struggling with guilt or shame, forgive me. When you are hurting or afraid, you can pray, help me. And when we're offering our lives to God, we can say, use me. Then you can add in more. That's just at its basic level. Now, I can understand that we can pray beyond that, and many of you do. But that's just a simple way, and sometimes I think we forget about how important just simple expressions of our heart are so important in our times of need. And then the other thing I want you to think about is the Lord's Prayer is about opening ourselves to God's promptings. God's promptings, or God's will, if you like. And I think your outline might have said God's will in there. The Lord's Prayer isn't only about speaking, but it's about listening and yielding. Now, that's where it gets a little harder. Let me ask you a question, and I don't know if you'll fully understand what I'm saying, but and maybe you have. Have you ever wrestled with God before? In other words, you were talking to God about something, and God's saying, okay, you know, I want you to do this, and then you start wrestling. I don't know if I want to do that, Lord. I'm not very good at this, or I'm not that, or I'm this, or whatever. You know, it's kind of like when you're talking with your wife, and your wife tells you she wants you to do something, you're like, I don't know if I can do that right now. I got this to do, or that. You're wrestling with her a little bit, or him. So there's a part of a time in prayer, and as we go through the series, you're going to see what I mean by this, is yielding. You know, when you're asking, forgive me of my sins, or forgive my trespasses, or forgive my debts, I don't know about that, as I forgive that other person. There's some wrestling that goes on. So there's action that comes out of that. And here's the thing I want you to see when you think about listening and yielding, because the Lord's Prayer will not only empower us, but it will move us to action. And that's what I want us to see, because here's the thing, I want you to hear this. The primary way, or one of the primary ways, we like the other way, where God just boom and it happens. But one of the primary way God answers our prayers is by working through us or others to bring about the answer to that prayer. And as I've gotten older, I've seen that and believed that more to true. Now, sometimes we don't always like being able to do that. But that's the way God works often. And one of the unique things that, as I alluded to about the Didache, is how that prayer ends. Pray this 3 times a day. Why is that? Because I think they saw the Lord's Prayer as a way of helping us to transform our lives and be more like Christ and God in what we're doing in the world. And I hope it will help us open our hearts so God may use us to be a part of our answers to our prayers. Or God may use us to help answer someone else's prayers. And I believe this is why we are called to pray like this. Amen. Amen. Well, say hi to a couple people there. You can wave at them or say hi a little bit, and then we will close out with our little chorus, His Name is Life. Are we ready? It's getting shorter and shorter every week. Hopefully, one day we'll go back to giving hugs and everything else. Let's stand as we get ready to close out here. We're going to sing it through twice. His name is life. It's on page 60 in your hymn book, or you can just follow along on the PowerPoint this morning. Let's sing it. His name is Master, Savior, Lion of Judah, Blessed Prince of Peace, Shepherd, Fortress, Rock of Salvation, Lamb of God. Son of David, King of the ages, eternal life. Holy Lord of glory, His name is alive. Let's sing it again. His name is Master, Savior, Lion of Judah, Blessed Prince of Peace, Shepherd, Fortress, Rock of Salvation, Lamb of God is He. Yes, He is. Well, let's join together for our benediction. Go forth recognizing God's grace on your journey.
We follow the leading of the Spirit in our lives.
Go forth identifying Christ as your guide, experiencing the steadfast love of God. Amen. Thank you.